So what we started celebrating 2 weeks ago now is an amazing thing of heaven coming to earth. And I mean, this really is just unheard of. I mean, when you try to put yourself in the mind of those who were living at the time, the whole idea that God would come to earth, that he would take on our human flesh, this is one of the biggest stumbling blocks for pagans in the early days of the church. Why would a great and majestic and powerful God come down and choose to dwell with us and enter into the ordinary? And yet that's exactly what he's done. And the part in the gospel that we just have very little about and yet filled the majority of the life of Christ were his years in Nazareth, just growing up and then learning the trade of Joseph as a carpenter, working as a carpenter himself. And it's an incredible thing that God would not only unite himself with our humanity and enter into the ordinary, but would fill 30 out of his 33 years with us in the flesh, would fill it with the ordinary, regular stuff of life. But that's what God has done. Now, in doing that, he has completely transformed the stuff that you and I would typically think, you know what, this is so ordinary, so mundane, there's no way that God could be in this, the ordinary stuff of life. See, you and I still think that there is a massive gap between the realm of God and things spiritual and our ordinary daily life, even though that gap has been completely closed by the incarnation. I think you and I still tend to think that there is stuff in our life that's simply too ordinary for the Lord, that we should never or could never expect to find him in it. And today, I want to just hit that main point I just said, that gap has been closed. God has chosen to enter into our human life in such a way that there is nothing that you do in the course of your ordinary daily life that cannot be completely charged with the presence of God. There is nothing in your daily life that is so ordinary, so regular, so mundane that God does not want to be in it with you and allow you the grace to find him in it and let that ordinary stuff of your daily life become the primary way that you meet God and that he makes you holy. That's what I want to put before you today. Throughout the Gospels, we have examples of how the Lord just meets people in the ordinariness of their daily life. He does that with Peter and Andrew and James and John when he first calls them from the seashore. They're fishermen, and it was in the act of fishing that God called them. Same thing with Matthew, the tax collector. Over and over again, the Lord does that. But even the three magi who appear today, these were men who were kind of part astronomers, part wise men, part philosophers. They were seeking the truth, but they kind of just made their life kind of the study of what they could see. And where's the hand of God in that? And they arrive and they find God in the midst of simply doing what they spent every day doing. Like, they didn't quit their day job in order to find the newborn king of the Jews. They found him because they were simply doing what they did day in and day out. And there have been a number of saints who have commented on this very passage we had read today, saying, don't miss that point. That they did not leave behind their other life and then find the newborn king of the Jews. They were simply doing what they spent most days doing. Now, this is really good news for us. Again, because of Christmas, your ordinary life is the primary place where God wants to meet you and where he wants to make you holy. And that's really good news. Because too often I think that we are afraid that maybe my ordinary life is so regular and so plain and so typical. Why would God want to be in it? But he really does want to meet you there. And for every one of us, it's the stuff that's asked of us in daily life, the obligations that are put on us because we are a mom or a dad, husband or a wife, the obligations that are put on us at work because we're supporting our family. It's all of that stuff that fills our life, and it's exactly that stuff that the Lord wants you to understand. It's right in that. It's in your daily work, your daily duties, that he most wants to meet you. And this is true all the way down even to our high school students, our middle school students, that it's in your homework, it's in your studies, it's in getting up and going to school, it's in the ordinary stuff there that the Lord says, that's where I'm going to be. I want to meet you there. And we need to be reminded of this every year at Christmas in order that we don't write off and dismiss the ordinary stuff of life. I mean, what if God could not be found in your work? What if God couldn't be found in the chores that you do at home? What if God couldn't be found in the ways that you care for your family, when you're out shopping, when you're doing laundry? What if God couldn't be found in any of that? That would be an awful and miserable existence. If God could only be found in little tiny slivers of life, that'd be miserable. But that's not the case. So three things that you and I can do in order to let the ordinary stuff of life become the place where we meet God. Three things. No matter what it is that's being asked of us in daily life, again, as a mom, a dad, young, old, single, married, every one of us wakes up in the morning and there's stuff that we have to do. Stuff that's put on us just because of where we are in life. And in order to find God in it, three things that we can do. The first thing is to make the choice to do what's asked of us, to do it with love, to simply enter into it with the intention, Lord, I didn't choose to have to do this, but I do need to do it, and therefore I choose to do it with love. When you make that your intention, it begins to completely and radically change the stuff that you're doing. When you decide that whatever's put on you in life, whatever's asked of you, whatever you're obliged to do, when you make a decision to do it with love, you immediately open up the door to let the Lord into it. So you do what's asked of you with love, and then you do it as well as you can possibly do it. So whether it's stuff at work, whether it's caring for the home, whatever it might be, you make the decision to do it as well as you can do it. In other words, Lord, I'm going to use every bit of gift and talent and energy and strength you've given me. I'm going to use all of that to do this as best as I can. And we need that part of it to support the first. Lord, I'm going to do this with love, but if I'm going to do it with love, then I'm going to put as much love as I can put into it. I'm going to do it as well as I can do it. So that no matter what your 9-to-5 job is, that you choose to let God be glorified in that as you make a choice to not do it half-heartedly, but to do it with all that you've got as best as you can. Now that changes things, because when you make that your point, you begin to let whatever's asked of you kind of become more at the center. I want to spend myself on this task, whatever's asked of me, doing it well, in order that we're not living just for the weekend, not just for vacation, but that we can, again, find the Lord in what we're doing there. The third thing is that we do it for him. We do it for the Lord. So we do it with love. We do it as well as we can. And we do it for him, that he becomes the great motivation for the reason why we're doing what we're doing. So that even when you're doing something in a hidden or quiet way, when not a lot of eyes looking at you, but even again in the simplest of things, you're cleaning up the kitchen and you're offering that to him, to the Lord. Why? Because it's what's put on you, asked of you, just given where you are in life, but you decide intentionally to not just do it because it needs to be done, but to do it for him, for the Lord. Those three things have a way of changing radically the stuff of ordinary daily life. When we do that, what begins to happen is the Lord begins to make us holy through the stuff of daily life. And if you are not being made holy in the stuff of daily life, it's probably not going to happen. Because, like, map out where your hours go each week. Apart, hopefully, maybe you're one of those that's committed to an hour of adoration. But if only one out of 168 hours of your week is making you holy, well, that's not a good thing. The Lord doesn't want that for you. Again, the whole message here of Christmas is the Lord's entering into the ordinary. And he spent those 30 out of the 33 years quietly living and working in Nazareth. Look at Mary. Did you know that the Virgin Mary, did you know she was not a nun? She was a mom, a wife. Where do you think she met God each day? She wasn't leaving home and running off to the convent. She met God in the ordinariness of life. And Christ himself did that. So anyway, let me wrap this up and to just say to you, I want you to find the Lord in your daily life. He wants you to find him in your daily life. And I want you to look at those daily things with tremendous hope, to not write them off ahead of time as a place where you will never, ever find him, but just the opposite, that it would be in the most simple and ordinary and even menial of circumstances that you find him there, because you're doing it with love, you're doing it as well as you can possibly do it, and you're doing it for the Lord. Those three things, which are simply a change in attitude, a change in intention, they can radically change the way that we enter into daily life. And in that, we can find him present in areas and places and things that maybe we never, ever before thought he would ever want to enter into.